who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the 1:15 p.m. meeting, Saturday afternoon, February the 19th, 2011. Jane Hunt is the speaker of this service, teaching on soul ties.
The Lord is good, isn't He? Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank You, and we praise You, Lord, and I ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in Your sight, Lord, because You are our strength and our Redeemer, Lord. And Father, open our ears to hear and to receive what You have for us to receive this day, Lord. And Father, let the teachings sink deep within us, Lord, all the teachings that we're receiving here, Lord, because, Lord, we want to leave here changed. We want to leave here free. We want to leave here as mighty women of God that can do exploits in the kingdom of God. And we thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in the midwinter camp meeting, they had asked me to minister, and I didn't have any notes. And the Lord had been dealing with me with a topic of the fragmented soul. And so I've got a little more on that, about 15, 20 pages. And maybe you don't go to sleep on me, but the thing that really prompted me, I did a teaching in the church on the 23rd Psalm, He Restoreth My Soul. Restoreth, that is present tense. Doesn't mean something that happened yesterday. Doesn't mean something that's going to happen tomorrow. Because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day my soul needs restoring. Because I can't go back and relive yesterday. I can't project myself into tomorrow. It will be today when in the morning comes. So today is the day of salvation. I want to talk a lot about soul ties today. Now, many of you have heard teachings about soul ties. And probably a lot of you know a lot more about soul ties than what I do, but I want to give you what I feel like that the Lord has given me on soul ties. And if something comes to your mind during this teaching, jot it down, because we're going to have to break some soul ties. And we may cast out a few demons at the end, too, before we get finished with this. So if something comes to your mind, you say, yeah, you know, that's me. I remember this and this relationship. I remember that. So just jot those things down. And so when it comes time, you can deal with them. And hopefully the Lord will set you free. But you know, you've got to want to be free. You know, you can come to a meeting like this and we can get all enthused. And you know, when you go back home tomorrow, you're going to be where the rubber meets the road, right? You're going to go back into your same situations that many of you came from. And I want you to go back with power. I want you to go back free. I want you to go back changed so that your husbands and your families and your people that you work with can see the difference in you. You won't have to preach to them. You won't have to say a whole lot to them. They will notice the change in you. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? And you know, if Satan can steal your joy, he can steal your victory. And so we don't want him doing that. We are a triune body. We're made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. And 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the scripture says, "And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So in the English translations of the Bible, the word soul and spirit are used interchangeably in many of the translations. So we are a triune body. We're created in the image of God. And we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. These three are separate, but yet you can't separate them. It's kind of like water. Water is composed of H2O, two parts of hydrogen, one part of oxygen. Now you can boil it, and you still have H2O. There comes one of my Baptist buddies. Everybody give her a hand. That's my friend Hester Felty from my church. You want on the front row? All right. Okay. We're going to give you a place of honor. But let's talk about water for a minute. H2O. Two parts of hydrogen, one part of oxygen. You boil it, you still have H2O. You freeze it, you still have H2O. You cannot change it no matter what form it's in, can you? It will always be that. And so we are a spirit being. We live in a body, and we possess a soul. All right? Now, the soul consists of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And our bodies are temples where we live. And when you're born again, it's your spirit that gets reborn. You still have all your emotions. You still have your mind, and you still have your will. But we're linked to Jesus Christ through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit." There's another scripture in Philippians, the second chapter, about the fifth verse, that says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Romans 12:2 says we're to be renewed by the transforming of our minds. Uh-oh. My mind has to be changed. And they say this about women, that you're always changing your mind. Have you heard anybody say that? Yeah, they're always changing their mind. Now, the Amplified Bible, and I love that, Carib, using the Amplified Bible. I use that a lot, too. It says, for Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind by its new ideals and its new attitudes, so that you can prove for yourselves what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you." Has your mind been renewed? By being renewed by the Spirit of God, we come to a place where our ears are willing to listen and what the Spirit wants to speak to us. And if your mind is not, if you're not willing to listen to what the Spirit says, you can't get your mind renewed, because you've got your mind made up that it's not going to be this way. Then, you know, I think it says, I don't want to talk about stubbornness, but let's talk about Adam and Eve for a minute in the Garden of Eden. Now, Adam was not controlled by his soul before he fell. He was controlled by his spirit. He walked with God in the cool of the day. And he wasn't controlled by the will or the dictates of his soul at all. And that is why he didn't even know that they were naked until after they'd sinned. They didn't know all of this. He didn't know evil before they sinned. The only thing he knew was that he would die if he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they did not know, and they were disobedient. But they were joined together with God in the Spirit before the fall. And after he fell, his spirit died within him. No longer was there unity in being joined to the Lord. He was now joined to Satan, the serpent that came to the garden and tempted him. He was joined to him. So, you know, everything your flesh loves, the devil loves. You know, he wants you to be comfortable. Oh, he doesn't want you to get too warm. He wants you to look just right. He wants you to have the right food, the right stuff to drink. He just wants you to really, you know, just give in to whatever he wants you to do. And so everything that your flesh hates, Satan hates. Man's fallen nature is married to the things of the god of this world. You didn't have to teach your child to lie, did you, when they were little? Did you have to teach them to steal? No. Did you have to teach them to be selfish? No, you did not. And did you have to teach them anything that was wrong? They just did it, didn't they? They just knew to do it. You have to train your children not to do evil. Not to do evil. Much of what we do with our kids is called soul training. We train their wills, we train their minds, and we train their emotions. And, you know, as being a retired teacher, a school teacher, I see a lot of this that we had to do with the children. We had to train them, give them knowledge, impart knowledge into them. We had to train them to be polite. Many of them come from homes where they didn't know what it was to be polite. Many of them came from homes they didn't know that it was wrong to steal. And, you know, you were always settling arguments about whose pencil this was, or somebody got their pencil or lost their quarter for Coke money. And, hey, that's a long time ago. You don't get Cokes for a quarter anymore. But, you know, there are still some good parents out there that instill good values in their children. But the majority of kids don't receive the soul training that they need. We're not morally good. You weren't born good. It is because that we have been trained. And Scripture says we train up a child in the way that they should go. When they're old, they won't depart. Now, until we reach the age that we are in a position that we can be born again, we live according to the dictates of our flesh. That's mine. Give me that. You get two children the same age, 2 2-year-olds, and there's one toy. That's mine, and the war is on. You didn't have to teach that child to be selfish. You know, it just comes natural. The sad thing is that we have so many parents in our society today who were never born again, and they live according to the dictates of their flesh, even yet. Many of you that have grown children, you can see your kids living in the dictates of their own flesh. Is it any wonder that our kids are in trouble with the sex, with the drugs, with alcohol? Is it any wonder? Because there's no covering for them. There's no godly parents that have raised them. Now, our souls didn't get born again. Sorry to tell you, you may have thought it did. You may have thought, when I get saved, and when I got saved, all my troubles will be over. You know, that was just the beginning of trouble, because there's a war. There's a war that's going on, the flesh against the spirit, the good against the bad, God against Satan in our lives. Did your anger leave when you got saved? Your anger didn't get saved, did it? What about your hate? Did your hate get saved? No. Did you automatically wake up the next morning with no trouble? No, it doesn't happen that way. It takes years of deliverance, of prayer, to bring our flesh under subjection. And it still gets unruly from time to time. There's not a lady in here that couldn't flare at the drop of your hat and have a fit of anger. In a moment, just like that, it would happen. And you know what? Old Slewfoot's over here, he just said, hee, 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 hee. You did it, you did it, you did it. He's the accuser of the brethren, right? And so, that's why Paul had to say, I die daily. He was dying to the flesh. Now, the flesh screams loud and clear, but it gets its instructions from the soul. Now, many times we say, I will. I will do this. I will do that. Uh-oh. What's that little word, will? Oh, is that the same will as this will that I'm up here? We are determined. We make up our mind we're going to do it. I will do it. So our will gets in the way of our want to sometimes, doesn't it? Now, many things will begin as nothing more than a seed that's planted in your mind. Now, many of your former lifestyles have carryovers in them. They have things in them that need to be cleansed and washed clean. And we're doing that this morning when in the prayer meeting. Many of you got deliverance, and I praise God for it. And don't think because you get deliverance one time, you got it all. Because there's always more. Because we are a growing individual. Many believers continue to struggle with sin even after becoming Christians. We cannot allow our soulish man to rule us. And it wants to rule. My will wants to take over. Your will wants to take over. The soul will always be try to be in control. And it is very important then that we feed our spirit man with the Word of God. And with worship and with prayer and with fellowship with other believers. That's one of the main reasons that we have fellowship with other believers. Is so that our spirit man will be fed and will be nurtured and will be growing in him. There's a principle that says that what you feed grows, and what you starve dies. So you don't satisfy anything by feeding it, do you? Nothing. You only increase its capacity to grow. You take a baby. You don't satisfy it by feeding it, because it's going to be coming back and back again and again, wanting to be fed over and over again. And it begins to grow. Sin in our lives, if we feed that sin, we will increase its capacity to grow in us. So, what are you feeding? Are you feeding your spirit man? Are you feeding your flesh by worldly things and entertainment? What are you feeding? Think about what you're feeding. Now, God wants us to be free. Amen? Amen. He wants us to be rid of all the bondages. He has a destiny for all of us. You may not think He has a destiny for you, but ladies, He has a destiny for each one of us. And many times, ungodly soul ties will keep us from fulfilling the destiny that God has for us. And so they suppress God's eternal purposes for us. And they can cause a lot of frustration in the life of a believer. Now, many people who you think really have it all together are hurting inside. But hiding behind a mask. But behind that mask, there are hurts, there are habits, there are hang-ups, discouragement, and broken hearts. Ladies, this is a time to take the mask off. This is a time to let God come in and heal those places in you He desires to heal. Many hide the pain on the outside, but inside that pain is very real. It takes time to get the mask off sometimes. It is time to be honest and to get free. I really appreciate Kara's honesty this morning. I really appreciate that. You know, that was, you could tell that that was a very sincere thing and how that it ministered out and how that many of you could identify with what she was teaching this morning. Now, an ungodly soul tie is when the mind, the will, and the emotions of a person become so entangled that their thoughts are not always their own, or when a person is unnaturally affected by the will, the emotions, and desires of someone else. You can also be soul tied to things. It doesn't necessarily have to be another individual. When things in your life keep you from doing what God has called you to do, then it becomes an ungodly soul tie. God desires His children to have good things, but He doesn't want those things to have us. A soul tie, exactly what is a soul tie? It's the spiritually joining together of two souls, which can bring forth both beneficial or negative results, which means that there are good soul ties and that there are bad soul ties. The Bible doesn't use the word soul ties, but it alludes to it and speaks of souls becoming knit together or becoming one flesh. That is a term that I don't know where it came from, but it's one that we use in deliverance circles, soul ties, but it is not mentioned in Scripture as such. But now, a soul tie can serve many functions. And I think I want to do something right now. I need about 6 or 7 volunteers up here. I don't want any old people up here because you can't bend over very good. I want to. Yeah. All right. If you think you're agile, here comes one. Here comes a young one. All right. We're gonna do a. You mean two? I gotta have. Here's 3. I need some 4. I need 2 more. All right. Here comes another one. 1 more. Come on, that'll be all right. We'll use 7 of you. I want you ladies to get in a circle. And I know the end result of this. All right. Now then, I want you to drop your hands and move the circle in. Just everybody step in. Drop your hands. All right. I want you to reach out and take a hand of someone else. I want you to reach out and take your other hand and join it to another person. Let's see about these soul ties. Soul ties have done to you. You've got yourselves all tied up. Now, without breaking that, without keeping your hands together, let's see if you can untangle that and come back into a perfect circle. Well, that doesn't look like you're not all facing the same direction. What happened? You did a good job, but you didn't. Yeah. All right. You girls can go sit down. Thank you. Let's give them a hand. Yeah. Now, can you see what soul ties do to you? Can you see what it does? That God wants us in unity with Him, and when we become entangled in these things, then it's hard to get loose, isn't it? It's hard to get loose. It really is. So, a soul tie. A good soul tie can be examples of your local church or your local fellowship. And an example of a bad soul tie would be found in the cults. Many of them, the cults, use twisted scriptures. And it is extremely hard to get a person out of a cult once they have been in it because of the soul ties that they have formed with leaders of that cult and other people that are in that cult. A word of caution Don't take someone else's word over what the Word of God teaches. If they can't back that concept up and that idea up by the Word of God, then you better beware and run. Just take off and flee. Run. Now, many soul ties are formed without people even being aware that they've happened. And then they find themselves so twisted up in a mess. Oh, it sounds good. And you know, there's something about women that they say we're gullible, and I think probably we are, that people run after any new teaching. They run after a new word from God, and they go all over the country seeking a word from the Lord. Well, I tell you what, I got a whole book of word from the Lord for me right here. And anything anybody tells me that I can't prove by this, I put it in the trash. Yeah, because, you know, and we have a lot of well-meaning people that mean well, but they have ruined a lot of people's lives. And then this person, have you ever seen people that, well, if such and such is going to preach, then I want to go. We have people that call this camp wanting to know who's going to teach and when, what session is so-and-so going to teach. We do. And you know, it doesn't matter. Who are you going to hear? God, or are you going to hear some speaker like me or Jerry? Who are you going to hear? God can speak through a donkey. He can surely speak through me. But when you stop and you think about it, the Bible talks about us being unequally yoked with unbelievers. In many cases of marriage, one of them may be saved and the other unsaved. And we've seen a lot of young people that were strong Christians and they married a person who was not a Christian. Oh, he promised he'd go to church, you know, and they went to church before the marriage, but after the marriage, then it all fell apart. And 90% of the time, the Christian is the one who loses out. The non-Christian will win in those situations. So, physical attraction happens, soul ties can be formed. Does this mean that you're supposed to leave an unsaved mate? Absolutely not, as long as he be pleased to dwell with you, unless you're in an abusive situation. And soul ties are what keep women in abusive situations. They go back time and time and time again because of the soul tie. Well, he promised he wouldn't do that again. He wouldn't lose his temper and hit me again. Well, if he did it once, ladies, he'll do it again. Because he's a man, he's got human nature, and we got that will in him. And so, it takes time to get free from a lot of these relationships. And I have seen a few cases where I thought maybe a woman might deserve a slap in the face for some of the things. That, you know, sometimes, ladies, we do things to provoke our men. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I'm kind of like Kara. I'm pretty honest. But we do things to provoke another person. And sometimes, not that God doesn't proves of the abuse, but sometimes women get what they deserve in many cases. Now, soul ties between someone that's committing fornication and a woman and can draw a woman, a beaten down woman, he can draw her right back into that relationship where ordinarily she would jump and run because her soul is tied to him through this act that they've done. And so, we make real messes of our lives, don't we? We do, from time to time. And probably all of us have formed ungodly soul ties in the past, in one way or another. But this teaching, I hope, will make you aware of what can happen to us and maybe prevent some of the entanglements that we get ourselves into. Now, in the demonic world, Satan loves soul ties. They serve as a bridge so that the demonic forces can move from one person to another, from one individual to another. And you know, if somebody's got a bunch of demons and you shacked up with him, you got every demon he had. And that's just putting it honest. And so, a person who is on drugs is automatically drawn to someone else who's on drugs. I've seen it happen in the high schools where that you take a new kid that comes into the school system and they gravitate towards those kids that are like-minded or in the same sin that they have been committing. And there's an attraction there. And a totally unknown person can be drawn to them because of soul ties with the past. So, unhealthy soul ties, many of those come about through manipulation. So if you feel like you're being manipulated, you might want to break that soul tie between you and that person. Emotional abuse, break that soul tie. Codependency, I just can't live without him. I just can't live without him. That's codependency, that's a soul tie. Break that thing. unnatural affections, envy or lust. These are all unhealthy soul ties. You can tell a soul tie by the kind of fruit it produces. You know, we had planted two apple trees one time, and one of them did pretty well. The other one, it had maybe five or six apples during its lifetime, and we finally chopped it down. But it wasn't producing fruit, good fruit. What kind of fruit are you producing? Now, a godly soul tie will make you stronger emotionally, as well as strengthen your walk with the Lord. It will bear fruits of righteousness, honor, love, truth, etc. And it will bear all those fruits that we find mentioned in the 5th chapter of Galatians. I think about verse 22. In the Amplified, it reads like this. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work in which His presence within accomplishes. Isn't that neat? His presence within accomplishes. So, I formed a godly soul tie with the Lord. And it should produce love, joy or gladness, peace, patience. Oh, patience is an even temper, isn't it? Forbearance. Kindness, goodness, which benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control or self-restraint, continence. Against such there is no law. No one can bring a charge against those things. Now, an ungodly soul tie, what do you think it's going to produce? It's going to produce the works of the flesh, isn't it? Now, in the Amplified, in verses 19 through 21 of the same chapter, it says, now the doings, or the practices, the doings, I like that, of the flesh are clear. Uh-oh. Obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger or ill temper, selfishness, divisions, dissensions, party spirit, factions, sex with peculiar opinions, heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. My goodness, what a list. A godly soul tie is a soul tie that is within the will of God. An ungodly soul tie is when you have a soul tie outside the will of God for your life. In Luke 10:27, it says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. Now, this is important because this is the first commandment with promise. So, I mean, Jesus repeated it, and here it comes back again. So, if it was good in the Old Testament, it was good in the New Testament, guess what? It's good for February of 2011, right? So the most important soul tie that you can have in your life is the one between you and God. And anything that keeps you from forming that soul tie, you might wish to consider it idolatry. When you stop and think about it, anything that comes between you and God and keeps you from serving Him and loving Him above all else in your life is an idol in your life. Or it's a little god. Anything that keeps you from obeying Him and the Word is an idol, and it must be broken and stripped from your life if you are to serve Him with a pure heart and a whole heart. God loves us so much, ladies, that He has a plan for each one of our lives. When we stay connected to Him and His will for our lives, we're going to be protected from ungodly soul ties or caught up doing such things. Psalms 91 has been alluded to already so many times. But he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Some of you have already memorized that. Memorize the whole thing. Read it every day. But dwelling in the secret place, if you want to dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide in His shadow, then form the godly soul ties that He wants you to form. And if we start meditating on and attaching ourselves to things, people, and places that are outside the will of God, we begin to lose control over our thoughts. And the Holy Spirit places there. And the longer this goes on, the farther our fellowship is from Him. Have you noticed that when you come together in meetings like this and retreats, it's you, boy, you just get so enthused and you just seem so full of the Holy Ghost and you're just a man, you're going home and you're going to whip the devil all the next year. or for months to come. And that's because that our focus during this meeting has been on the Lord and on what He's doing and what He wants to do and the fellowship that we've had with one another, the visiting and things that we've done. And between us and the Lord is much stronger. And when you go home, we allow other things, the cares of this life, to come in and choke out the Word, to choke out things that God wants us to do. And our spiritual ears will become dull and of hearing His voice. And if you can't hear His voice, how can you do what He's asking you to do? He's always warning us of dangers that might be ahead. And He will always show us a way to escape. 1 Corinthians 15:58 states that there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He's going to suffer us not to be tempted above we're able, but He will make a way of escape for us. The most common tie is with another person you know or have had a relationship with. But you can also be tied to an animal. Now, there's a lot of people that have soul ties between them and an animal. You break them every day. Jerry has a kennel at her house, and she breaks the soul ties. Now, and I have miniature dachshunds at my house, but I had one that died, and I didn't know what he'd... I had a soul tie with him until after he was dead, but I broke it anyhow. But they stay outside most of the time, but they can come in at night, you know, and I'll pet them, and I feed them, and I take care of them. But I don't call them mama's little girl or mama's little boy or get up in daddy's lap or such stuff as that. You've seen people do that. I mean, they treat those dogs and those animals better than what they treated their kids when they were growing up. Spend more money on them than what they ever spent on their children. And so we have people spending thousands of dollars on a dog that's going to end up dying. And I have a cousin that had a little dachshund and it died. She had it cremated. And guess where Greta's ashes are now, sitting up on her mantle? Oh, man. Now, that's a soul tie, if I ever saw one. And I sure am not going to be soul tied to a bunch of ashes. Now, I do realize that I did have a... You know, sometimes soul ties, you don't know about them until after the things are gone and out of your life. When I retired, I gave myself a gift. Some of you have heard this story. I bought an old 1952 M38 military Jeep, and it was in shambles and it was in pieces, and I had to restore it. Now, I didn't know anything about restoring, but I had a friend that helped me, and so I restored this Jeep. And I mean, she was a beauty. I named her Matilda, and Matilda was a nice Jeep. She was a beautiful Jeep, and we'd take her to parades and we would take her around different places. Linda seen Matilda, and so we got to the point where that we felt like that we were getting too old to haul that Jeep around on a trailer and run around all these parades and all these functions and things that we went to with it. And so I decided to sell the Jeep. And when I sold the Jeep, I cried. And the lady that bought the Jeep, she cried. And I still see Matilda from time to time. Well, you know, but the thing about it is that I was prompted to write a book about Matilda. Well, and so I was writing the book, and I had the publisher lined up, and I was really gung-ho with this thing. Well, the lady that was going to, the publisher, said, well, why don't you tell this from Matilda's viewpoint? Well, I started editing, working that a little bit, and I thought, my lands, a Jeep doesn't talk, does it? How can I tell a story from her viewpoint? But you know what? When the lady called me and said, are you going to write that book? And I said, no. I don't have any interest in it anymore. But it took that to break that soul tie. And I broke the soul tie with it. And I have no desire. I can look at Matilda. I can see Matilda in it. I'm crying. Don't bother me. I'm glad she's gone. I'm glad somebody's got it. You know, because of the time that we spent with it. Now, let's get to another subject. Now, I told you mine. I'm going to get on yours now. What about television? Are we so occupied with television that we don't hear what the Holy Spirit's speaking to us? Many women will let everything in the house go to watch some dumb soap opera. Anybody in here ever been addicted to soap operas in the past? Oh, my. In the past, that's what I said, yep. Now, soaps, but do you know Christians that watch soap operas? Or so-called Christians? They're very dangerous for a Christian because they're based on a fantasy world. And everyone cheats on somebody else and does all kinds of evil towards one another. And this is planting bad seeds in our soul. Many get so caught up that I've known young girls get on the telephone with each other while the soap's on. Did you see that? Did you see that? What do you think they're going to do next? And they're carrying on a conversation with a friend all at the same time this soap opera's on television. Now, sick, right? But many get so tied up, that's all they think about it. We need to cut the tie with the false world of imagination. And Psalms 1:1 said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Let's judge soap operas by this verse. Uh-oh. I believe that walking in the counsel of the ungodly, uh-huh. Standing in the way of sinners, uh-huh. Sitting in the seat of scornful, uh-huh. Fits all of those categories. But 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations." Oh, so soap opera is imagination, isn't it? "And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And you know, the sad thing is, a lot of young girls will watch these old soap operas. Boy, that's life. You know, that's really going to be good. Now, back when I was growing up, which was a day or two ago, we had these old true romances, or, you know, magazines. Did you have any of those? Anybody else read any of those? Love stories. What did they call those things? Was it True Romance? Was that the name of them? Somebody else been reading them. Yeah, we had those things. And, boy, I'd hide those things under my mattress so my mother wouldn't see them, you know. And, boy, and you know, but I could just live in a whole fantasy world by reading those stories. And, I mean, they went explicitly into detail and very sordid and very unhealthy for anybody to read. But let's define our imaginations. They're images in the mind and in the reasoning. High thing would be having a wrong attitude. Why do our minds need to be renewed? So we will think and live our lives according to the truth of God's Word and not to the dictates of some TV show. There is really nothing on TV worth watching. Now, there is one commentator that comes on that I like, and he's on Fox News, and his name is Glenn Beck, and he's on at 4 o'clock. How many of you have watched Glenn Beck? I believe Glenn Beck is a godly Christian man, and he seems to tell it like it is. But most of the things we hear on television are nothing but doom and gloom. And I get sick and tired of these so-called Christian television programs. I get sick and tired of people building little kingdoms. No, I don't get sick and tired. No, no. But I don't like it. Yeah. But I'm not telling you to turn off your TV. That's between you and God. But let me ask you. Are you as willing to spend as much time in the Word of God as you do watching television? Now, according to the Nielsen report, the average American watches more than 4 hours of television a day. This would be how much in a week? 28 hours in a week. Or 2 months of nonstop TV per year. And in 65 years, you would spend 9 years watching television. Kind of sad, isn't it? Very sad. Do I watch TV? Yes. Do I watch too much TV? Yes. Do I have a soul tie with television? Probably. Anybody else have one? I would say that I do have, especially when it comes to the Arkansas Razorbacks, you know. I love the Arkansas Razorbacks, whether they're playing football or basketball. If I don't watch myself, I can get real caught up watching those ball games. And getting the what? True confession. Well, what do you guys watch? University of Florida? You? None of it? Gators? Who's? All right. You know, it's very easy to get your soul tied to television. It's very easy but just think what power we would have in our lives if we spent 4+ hours a day in the Word and in seeking God and in prayer. Christians get caught up in what they're seeing and they try to act it out, many times putting themselves in danger. Well, I saw this on TV and I thought I'd try it. And every gimmick that you don't need is advertised on TV. And boy, it sounds real good. And children become soul-tied at a very young age to television. Well, television is the babysitter for a lot of kids. They turn the TV on and they watch cartoons. And my granddaughter, I've been homeschooling her this past 2 or 3 weeks. She has an immune deficiency disorder, and she's only able to go to school 1 or 2 days a week. So I went to school and I said, can I have her assignments and can I teach her at home until she's able to come back full time? She gets in front of that television and she gets some cartoons, even if it's PBS. And you can call her Faith, 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 Faith. Her mind is on that television, and that's where her focus is. Now, let's take that to our spirit man. Where is our focus? Where is your focus? Are you soul tied to things that you don't need to be soul tied to? Are you soul tied to things that are keeping you from having God's best in your life? Now, when a kid gets a little bit older, they become soul tied to a certain kind of music or a particular group. And you see these little girls just go wild at concerts, the beat of the music. They become like someone on drugs because of the addiction that they have to particular types of music. And someone alluded to this, there is no such thing as Christian rock. I say amen to that. I say amen to that. It is the beat of that music. And the beat of that music, and we find it carrying over into the church, and a lot of people have that very same beat. And they begin to gyrate, and they begin to go through all kinds of motions that are very ungodly. And we see those things happening. And so, music has tremendous power. God created music and Satan corrupted it. You know he was the praise and worship leader in heaven at one time. And music can calm a savage beast. It can even calm a demonic man. You look at Saul, and David go in and play for him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was troubling him. But you look at what the music did. It soothed him. Corrupted music appeals to the flesh. And that is what most people want to hear. Something that makes me feel good. Something that I can forget all about my troubles. And something I can carry in my mind. And I can go home and I can sing this little old ditty. But spiritual music does not appear to your flesh. It appeals to your spirit man. And then your spirit man begins to manifest the things of God. And it can be manifested in your flesh. This morning when the ladies were dancing before the Lord, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I thought it was just really neat. And a carnal-minded Christian prefers music that appeals to their flesh. Some of the so-called Christian music fits this category because it makes their flesh feel good. And the beat of much of the music classified as Christian is the same as that of world music. I don't think we've impressed God a bit with it, do you? Why did God create music in the first place? It was for worship and for adoration and a means of bringing His people into fellowship with Him. Now, does the music you listen to lead you into the worship of God? If it does, then hey, go for it. Ephesians 4:23 and 24 tells us that we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind and put on the new man which God created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, there are different levels of soul ties. There are soul ties that are physical. There are soul ties that are soulish. And there are soul ties that are spiritual. All three levels can occur between friends, co-workers, church members, between brothers and sisters, between a parent and a child, and one of the most important of all, between the husband and wife. So we see that there are many levels that we can be tied to another person. Be sure that the things that you're tied to are things that are going to enhance your Christian life and things that are going to draw you closer to God. If they take you away from God, then I would be very cautious of those and would consider them possibly as being a bad soul tie. Now, there are 5 instances that are recorded in the Bible where soul ties are formed through sexual intercourse. And in the cases of rape, they use a high-powered microscope. And they can actually see where that the woman, through the mucus lining of the vagina, they can see what has happened and see that she has been raped because there will be little blood vessels that have ruptured when that happens. And you can find this in Dr. Null's book back there on rejection. And he goes into detail with this. And he says that these instances are adultery. What does adultery do? It destroys your soul. Those of you who have been in the sin of adultery in the past, you can tell. You can give testimony after testimony of what adultery has done and what it is destroying your soul. Proverbs 6:32 says that the part of your soul that was lost, says adultery destroys the soul, is what it says in Proverbs 6:32. So the part of your soul that was lost is replaced by an unclean demonic spirit. So we see that that's the first instance. The second instance is in marriage. We can form soul ties through marriage. Now let's think about Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man ever to have lived. But he had a problem. Solomon, old brother Solomon, had a spirit of lust. Now, Solomon had how many wives? 700, and he had a bunch of concubines, 300 concubines. And he was led astray by all of these foreign wives. If he saw a beautiful woman, he just wanted her and put her in his harem. And he was led astray. And he even built temples to the demonic gods of Ashtoreth, Milcom, Chemosh, and Molech. Molech was child sacrifice, I believe. And then, but he even sacrificed, built temples for sacrifices for these gods. You know, it wasn't unusual for the children of Israel to have one God, the true and living God, God Almighty, and then they would build other temples and would worship other gods along with it. And he said that he was a jealous God. We would have no other gods before him. And so, but you know, Solomon's trouble probably started back with his daddy, his father David. Remember, David committed adultery, didn't he? And so, not only did he have a problem with his son Solomon, but he had a problem with his son, one of his sons raped his half-sister. So we see those sexual sins going from generation to generation to generation on down. And so, thank God that we know about the teachings of generational sins, sexual sins especially, that we know those, that we can be set free from those, that we don't have to carry those around. We don't have to reproduce that. We don't have to reproduce that in our children. We can stop with you, that it does not go any further. And so, now these women that Solomon married, they had strong, controlling ties with him. And here we have the wisest man on earth, and he's drawn away by lust. And so the saddest part of this is in 1 Kings 11, 1 through 6. In verse 6 it says, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as his father David. Now, did not fully follow. Let's think about that. Are you fully following the Lord? Or are there parts of you that you want to stay soul tied to things, to people, to things that you know that are dragging you down? Or do you want to be free from them? You want to be free from those things. Now, not all soul ties in marriage are evil. You know, I don't know about you, but I grew up in the age where that to have sex was just pure evil. I mean, that's the way we were taught, you know, that it was a bad thing. But, you know, it's not. And it's when it's performed with between two adults who love each other and love the Lord, it can be a beautiful thing. And so, where there's love and commitment and mutual respect, then we have good soul ties that are formed. Now, in a marriage where one partner tries to manipulate the other or intimidate, that sin will allow the enemy to form an evil soul tie. Manipulation and intimidation are merely forms of witchcraft when you stop and think about it. Now, there are also soul ties are formed through adultery, through marriage, through fornication, which is sexual intercourse between two unmarried people. 1 Corinthians 6:16 says that they become one flesh and are joined to one another. Soul ties are also formed through rape. Because of witchcraft control, part of the victim's soul is removed, and it's replaced by a demon and part of a foreign soul. The innocent victim receives the soul tie and the demons. Now, doctors can call it trauma, but I believe that it's the evil soul tie that the person is experiencing. Because a person that is raped, if you've ever been around someone who's been raped, they feel so unclean, and they feel like that they've been hurt. They've been emotionally, the emotions are just, it ends, and they're just frayed. And so it's because of that unhealthy soul tie. It wasn't their fault. It wasn't their fault that they got raped, but the unhealthy soul tie came in anyhow. And through whoredom, in Hosea, it tells us that the harlotry, that which is whoredom, wine, intoxication, and new wine take away the heart. So, you know, if you've practiced that in the past and there have been soul ties with everyone that you've ever had sex with outside of your marriage, you need to break a soul tie. And as God will bring them to your mind in a few minutes, you break those soul ties. And some of you have already been breaking soul ties, even this morning. You've been breaking soul ties in the morning prayer meeting. And as He brings those people to you, and if you can't remember their names, remember their face and their image and what they look like. And you remember, I know that most of you can remember the first time that you lost your virginity, if nothing else. You can remember that one. But let's take the example of a single mother with a live-in boyfriend. Now, usually, these relationships are very volatile and very stormy. And they don't last, do they? The boyfriend abuses her verbally and physically, and at times he even abuses her children. But she continues to stay with him and take the abuse because of the soul tie that was formed. In the meantime, now this guy is out with other women. And if he's gonna shack up with one, he's gonna shack up with another. If he's gonna shack up with you, he'll shack up with somebody else when he gets tired of you. That's just, he can tell you he loves you, he can tell you all kinds of things. He can pay your bills, he can do whatever he wants to do, but it is an ungodly soul tie. This guy can run around on you and go out with all these other women, but yet he's gonna come home and hang his pants on your bedpost. And so this woman remains in bondage to him. But yet she stays in the relationship because she's tied to him. She cannot get loose. What are you tied to? You're tied to things, people. You're tied to situations. What happens to the soul during these bad relationships or these illicit relationships? It becomes scattered. Because of soul ties with someone other than a legal spouse, you want your soul to be scattered, and you start having an affair with other people. You can't receive the love from your spouse that you so desperately desire. Even though they tell you they love you, they bring you flowers, they show it by their actions, it doesn't get through. Now, other soul ties will affect your ability to trust your spouse. You're unable to accept the love that they offer, and then you unconsciously say in your mind, they're unworthy of my trust. James 1 says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Have you ever heard women referred to as, she's just a piece of meat? Have you ever heard that statement? Yeah. Sex is more than just a physical act. It's a spiritual act as well. Now, the feminist movement that we have and the women's rights groups, they've surrendered our women to male predators. And they take this as an opportunity to surrender all sexual responsibility and respect. I mean, it's nothing for men and women to go out and have sex on a date, first date. It's nothing. And in the high schools, I would say that probably 90% of all the girls are no longer virgins because it's the common accepted practice that you go out with a guy, you have sex. A lot of them said, well, we don't want to have sex, so we'll do oral sex. And that is just as much of a filth and abomination to God as using the body for a means that God did not intend it to be used for. In many of the Eastern nations, women are treated as prisoners, and they're not even allowed to show their face in public. So, who knows what goes on behind the scenes in those homes. On the other hand, some women are displaying their bodies in such a way that will cause men to lust after them and will cause them to have pornographic thoughts. Now, there's nothing wrong with showing your body and expressing your spirituality, but it's gone far too far in the American society. You pick up a fashion magazine, what do you see? What do you find when you go to the store to buy clothes? Can you find anything decent to put on? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to find something decent to put on. And, you know, it's just, what is our society coming to? Are we allowing that? Well, I just might as well join up with them. I can't find anything, so I might as well, you know, just wear what everybody else is wearing. But, you know, there's nothing to me any more disgusting than finding some older lady who wants to look like she's about 16. And we've all seen that, too, haven't we? Yeah, we've all seen that. Now, in most cases, when we see all this stuff going on, a lot of men and women are in lust with one another instead of being in love with one another. And sex is a way to express love between a husband and wife, not a chance to scratch your itch. And when sex becomes just merely a casual thing, it cannot serve the needs of love. The only way sex can fulfill both partners is in the setting of marriage, where the man and the woman deeply love one another and have trust for one another. So what's the answer? Galatians 5:16 again says, "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ungodly soul ties will keep you from the destiny that God has ordained for you." Now, if soul ties are not dealt with, it causes your heart to become hardened. And eventually, you will start justifying them and you will turn away from the Word of God or try to find a scripture that will meet your criteria. Many people only hear what will fit into their mold instead of hearing the truth of the Word of God. The devil's job is to steal your soul if he can and keep you tied in ungodly ways to people, places, habits, and he will do that. When you're bound, he will keep digging at you deeper and deeper to keep you from serving God with all your heart. Are you ready to get free from ungodly soul ties? Do you want to live a life free of these as a child of God? Well, we've got to get busy here in a minute then. I'm going to give you some steps that will help you. And you don't have to come to Lake Hamilton to break a soul tie. You can do it at home if you want to do it, if you want to. And so the first thing that you need to do when you want to break an ungodly soul tie is to repent of any sins that involve that person or thing. Repent of those sins. Now, like I said, many people come here and, oh, yeah, they're going to repent, they're going to change. Well, next camp meeting, they're back for deliverance for the same thing. Because they didn't change, they didn't truly repent. And if you have adultery or had adultery in your past, fornication, and I know a lot of those things have already been dealt with this morning in prayer meeting, it is very important that you repent of those sins and you receive God's forgiveness for it before you can go about breaking a soul tie. If you don't repent, what's going to happen to the soul tie? It'll still be there, won't it, if you don't repent and not willing to change. Step number two, you forgive the person of any wrongdoings. You forgive that person of any wrongdoings. The Bible says if we have unforgiveness in our heart, that he won't hear us. So you have to choose to release bitterness. You have to choose to forgive. And the Bible is very clear that bitterness will defile a man, will defile you. So if you're not choosing to forgive, if you say, well, I can't forgive him, it's just, I just hurt so bad I can't forgive him, well, you ask God for healing. Say, Lord, I know I can't, but in you, you can. You can help me to forgive this person. Third step is to renounce any covenant that you might have made with that person. If you've made spoken commitments to that person, or made vows, or even just simply saying, I will love you forever. It has power in the spiritual realm to bind the soul to that person. The tongue is the most unruly member in our body. It's a fire that no man can put out. And it's quite capable of binding the soul. And it's a great means to create soul ties by the words that we speak. Proverbs 6:2 says, thou art snared by the words of thy mouth, and thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. These spoken covenants need to be renounced in order to break the soul tie. When you renounce something, you basically take it back verbally. You spoke them verbally, so take it back verbally. For example, if a woman had a soul tie with a man who was not the one, and she said that she would never love another man, then she needs to renounce that if she wants to break the soul tie. She could renounce it by saying, well, I renounce that I said I will never love anybody else but him. I renounce that thing. Step four is to get rid of any gifts that have been exchanged. And, you know, these can hold you in place. So they can be a soul tie, a gift. If a person has a ring or maybe a personal gift, cards or jewelry or something like that, from a previous relationship, then it's time to get rid of them. You don't need to keep any of those. Holding on to them symbolizes that the relationship is still in good standing and can actually hold you in tight, you in, hold you tight even after you've renounced that sin. You can learn. So then the last step is to renounce and break the soul tie in the name of Jesus. Verbally announce something carries a lot of weight in the spiritual realm. And just as vows can bind the soul, renouncing them can release them. So we're going to take a few minutes, and I want you to begin breaking soul ties. You don't have to stand or anything, but let's just bow our heads, and you can do it right there where you're sitting. And then I'm going to wait a few minutes, and then we're going to deal with some things, because many times soul ties, when they've been there a long, long time, will fade right over into the demonic, and that there may be some demonic spirits that need to be released too. So let's just bow our heads and just spend some time with you and God and just renounce any of these things. Ask Him to search your heart. If there are any of these things in you that you need to be rid of, ask Him to reveal it to you, and then you break those ties with those things. Okay, you know, it's quite possible that the soul tie has been so strong, and it's been there so long, that deliverance is needed. Now, you've broken soul ties in the name of Jesus. Now the Lord wants to release you from the demonic bondage because of the evil soul tie. Now, demonic spirits are inside of you. They're looking for a place to get out. And they go out any exit they can get out of. They may come out your mouth. They may come out your nose, your ears, your eyes. They're going to get out. Any place there's a hole in your body, they're going to get out if you will allow them to get out. You may feel like coughing. If you feel like coughing, you cough. If you feel like crying, you cry. If you feel like crying out, you cry out. You let that thing come out of you. Don't hold it in there. Don't be intimidated by any of us that are here, any of us that are teaching, because we've all been right where you're at. We've all set the pew, and we all know what it's like to be tormented with demons. So I'd like to ask Jerry and Kara and Pat and Diane that you kind of assist me if we need assistance. And so we're going to begin to deal with some demons. And don't be afraid. Those of you that are here for the first time, don't be afraid. We're not going to pour anything on you. We're not going to grab you and hold you down unless the demon gets to manifesting pretty good. Then we might. But let's all just stand to our feet and stretch for just a minute. And then let's sit back down when you've stretched a little bit. I want you to good and awake for this. They don't want that spirit of slumber in you, because you've been sitting, you've been a good audience. All right. You're stretched out, well, just go ahead and sit back down. All right, first spirit I want to deal with is the doorkeeping spirit. Now, that's a strange one, isn't it? Now, this is the spirit that keeps the door closed to your soul so that you can't receive deliverance. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I call out the doorkeeping spirit. I tell it to leave right now in Jesus' name, to be gone. You have no power. You have no authority. We don't want you here. We want you to free God's people from the doorkeeping spirit. Leave in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. Spirit of bondage, I speak to you and I call you out and I tell you to leave in the name of Jesus. Spirit of bondage, go, go in Jesus' name. You have no right in God's people. They want to be free, and they declare this day that they will be set free. Spirit of bondage, I tell you to go. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of whoredom, leave in Jesus' name. Spirit of whoredom, be gone in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Spirit of hatred, I hate that man. I won't ever have any respect for a man again. Go in the name of Jesus. Leave in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go in Jesus' name. Spirit of intimidation, leave. Go in Jesus' name. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Intimidation, leave in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, be gone in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be gone. Be gone in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, be gone. Go, go, go. In the name of Jesus. Leave, leave, leave. Be gone in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. In the name of Jesus, be gone. In the name of Jesus, be gone. Leave, leave, leave. We strip you of your power, of your authority. Unclean spirit, we tell you to leave in Jesus' name. Unclean spirit, be gone in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. Unclean spirit, leave in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, go, go, go. Fantasy spirit, spirit of imagination, leave in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. We break your power. We break your authority. We strip you in Jesus' name and tell you to leave. Spirit of fantasy, be gone in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go. Spirit of fantasy, leave in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Masturbation, spirit of masturbation, self-gratification, leave in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go in Jesus' name. Masturbating spirit, go, go in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Spirit of fornication, go, go, go in Jesus' name. Leave, leave in Jesus' name. Sex between unmarried people, go, go, go. All oral sex, all anal sex, go, go, go in Jesus' name. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Leave, leave God's people. Leave God's people. Garbola, leave, leave in Jesus' name. Controlling spirit, leave, leave, leave. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go. Being controlled or trying to control others. Spirit of spite, I tell you to go in the name of Jesus. Spite, go in the name of Jesus. Leave, leave, leave in Jesus' name. Go, go. All sexual impurities, go. All fantasy toys, all sex toys, all sex acts that are outside of marriage, we tell them to be gone in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go. Bestiality, go. Sex with animals, go, go, go in the name of Jesus. Leave, be gone in Jesus' name. And be gone in Jesus' name. Schizophrenia, double-mindedness, I tell you to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Go, go, go. Perverse spirit, leave, leave, leave right now in Jesus' name. All jealous spirits, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. I cast you out in Jesus' name. Jealous of your husbands, I tell that one to go right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, leave, 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 be gone. Self-pity, go, go, go. Self-pity, leave God's children in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go. Self-pity, go. I feel sorry for myself. Nobody else has what I've got. I'm in worse shape than nobody else. You get out there and you go right now in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. All guilt. All spirits of guilt. Go, go, go. Spirits of guilt, leave right now. Go in Jesus' name. Spirits of suicide, I think I'll just kill myself. Oh, if he doesn't love me, if he leaves me, I'll just kill myself. I don't know what I'll do. Spirit of suicide, leave. We break it off of you right now in the name of Jesus. Spirit of suicide, leave, leave, leave. Go, go, go. Poor me, spirit. Poor me. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. All vanity spirits, if I just look so-and-so, he will love me. Oh, if I'm so, then you dress in a way that's inappropriate and you attract the attention of other men. I tell that vain spirit to go. Leave in Jesus' name. Dress these women in righteousness and holiness in Jesus' name. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go. Spirit of loneliness. Well, I'm just so lonely. I have to stay by myself. I can't stay by myself. You go. Get on out of here. Jesus is their friend, sticks closer than a brother. God said he'd be a husband. Go, go, go. Jerry's got a good husband. She's got God for her husband. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. Loneliness. Leave, leave, leave. Unfairness. Well, it's just not fair. I was treated so unfair. Now you got self-pity and you got unfairness too. So unfairness, go. In the name of Jesus. Leave, leave, leave. Go, go, go. In the name of Jesus. Get out of here. Go on. Go on. Off the road somewhere else. We don't want you. Go down and get in the lake. We don't care. Just get out of God's people. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Self-rejection. I'm not good enough. There's something wrong with me. I'm not good enough. Self-rejection. I tell you to go. I tell you to leave right now in Jesus' name. Self-accusation. Always accusing yourself. Well, if I'd have done so-and-so, he wouldn't have done so-and-so. Who knows what he would have done? Self-accusation. Go. Attention-getting spirit. Get out of there in the name of Jesus. Go. Attention-getting spirit. Go. 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 Attention-getting spirit. Go. Leave in Jesus' name. Despondency. Well, I just don't care anymore. The don't care spirit, I tell you, out that door. Go, 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 go. Leave in Jesus' name. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. Distrust. Well, I just can't trust him anymore. Go, distrust. Go in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go in Jesus' name. Get out of here. Go, go, go. Persecution. Well, I just sat there, but I know he didn't mean what he said. So you just allow yourself to be persecuted. Persecution, leave in the name of Jesus. Go. Judgmental spirit. Well, I look over there and I see that marriage and it's so happy. I wish my marriage was like that. Compare yourself. Go, judgmental spirit. Well, you know, she shouldn't have done that. She shouldn't have done what she did. Judgmental spirit, go, 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 go. Self-deception, go, go, in the name of Jesus. Leave, leave, leave. Spirit of murder, I'm so mad anybody can kill him. Murder, go, in the name of Jesus. If I ever see that other woman, I'm going to chop her head off. Go, 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 murder, go, 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 in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 murdering spirit, leave. Go, go, go. Spirit of stubbornness. I don't want to get rid of this. I enjoy being in this condition. I enjoy being miserable. I enjoy making everybody around me miserable. I'm just as stubborn. I'm not going to let go of that misery. In the name of Jesus, stubbornness, leave, leave, leave. Right now in Jesus' name, go, go, go. Jesus' name. What? Theatrics. Theatrical spirit. Go. Acting. Putting on an act. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. Lord, just strip your daughters. Strip them, Lord. Strip them of all these things, Lord. Set them free, Lord. Set them free, Lord, of all these things that have been hindered their growth, Lord, that have kept them bound, Lord. We just pray that they would be set free. Bondages to go in Jesus' name. Anger, leave, leave, leave in Jesus' name. Anger, go, go, go in the name of Jesus. All anger be gone. All bitterness, bitterness, bitterness. Go, 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 go. In the name of Jesus. Leave bitterness out that door. Go, go, go. Bitterness, go. In the name of Jesus. Retaliation. I'm going to get even if it's the last thing I ever do. I'll get even with you. You just wait and see. I'll get even. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Those thoughts, those impure thoughts, we cast those down. The vain imaginations, we cast them. We cast them away. And we just ask that they would leave us. The demonic holes that they've had in our lives, we tell them to be gone in the name of Jesus. We tell them to leave right now in Jesus' name. To leave and not come back. We want to walk in purity. We want to walk in holiness. We want to walk in right relationship with God. These things are hindering us from doing that. In the name of Jesus, be gone, all of these things. All of these things go in Jesus' name. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Leave, leave, leave in Jesus' name. Leave in Jesus' name. Leave in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we tell all of these things to be gone. To go in Jesus' name. To go in Jesus' name. Hypochondriac, go. Go. In the name of Jesus, get. Go. Get. In the name of Jesus, go. 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 In the name of Jesus, go. In the name of Jesus, go. In the name of Jesus, go. 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 In the name of Jesus. Your power has been stripped. The blood of Jesus drives you out of here. Hypochondriac, go. 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 Go, go, go. In Jesus' name, go, go. Spirit of sodomy, go. In the name of Jesus, go. Spirit of sodomy, leave in Jesus' name. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. Every bit of you, leave in Jesus' name. Fear. All right, we're going to come against fear. Fear of what's going to happen if I let go of this thing. We come against that fear. We tell that fear to leave, to loose off of them, Lord. Loose off of them. Fear. Be afraid of man. Afraid of what man's going to say, what man's going to do. Fear. Leave in Jesus' name. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Fear. Go, 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 go. Set God's people free. Set these ladies free from fear. Set them free, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Fear. Be gone in Jesus' name. All fear. Leave in the name of Jesus. Leave in the name of Jesus. All fear be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in the name of Jesus. All fear, leave. Leave, leave. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Soul ties with tattoo artists. We tell those to be gone in the name of Jesus. We break them. We break them. We break those soul ties. We break all the evil soul ties that have been brought to our minds through this, out this teaching, Lord. All of them that the ladies have jotted down. We come against them and we break them right now in the name of Jesus. We break them. We cut them loose. We cut them loose. We send that soul back to that other person and call their soul back. Call it back and fill it, Lord. Fill it, Lord. Bring them back, Lord. Bring back their everything that they lost, Lord, through this relationship, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. 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 And now, Father, we bind up any backlash, any retaliation, anyone to get even. We tell the devil that he is bound from this premises, Lord, because of this teaching, Lord. And we tell him, Lord, that he will not come in and harass, that these women have been set free, and we apply the blood of Jesus to them, to their households, and the things that you have taken out of them. We pray that you replace that with love, joy, peace, and with the fruits of the Spirit, Lord, because these ladies want to bear good fruit, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord, above all else. else, Lord, because You are a mighty God. You are a mighty God. A mighty, mighty, mighty God. A mighty God that sets Your people free, Lord. You come to set the captive free, Lord. And Father, we thank You, Lord, for the deliverance that's been wrought this day, Lord, in this place, Lord. And may we be changed and may we not ever be the same, Lord, because we have come into the presence of the Most High God, and we've encountered Him in this place, Lord. And Father, we just pray that these women will be able to walk in the deliverance, that these soul ties will remain broken, Lord, and they will not go back into these relationships, unhealthy relationships. And Lord, that You will help all of us to guard our very lives, Lord, against forming ungodly soul ties, because it's very easy and very subtle that the enemy comes in wanting to do this. And we thank You, Lord, for what You've done in this place this afternoon, Lord. We thank You for what You've done in our lives, Lord. And we give You praise, and we give You honor, and we give You glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And you are dismissed.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.